Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you that we're here. None of us is guaranteed another day. But we thank you, Father, for this day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we would just pray that your Holy Spirit would touch the hearts of everybody in here today. Open our hearts for healing and restoration. Everybody in this room has a need. And Father, we just pray that you would meet our needs today. We love you, Father, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray that Mark would just do an awesome job. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay.
Well, speaking of an awesome job, I know the answer to this. But if you appreciate that kitchen, let them know. Give them a hand this morning. Seriously.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know a couple of people personally. They go to the store and it's their own expense. And maybe you already know this, but maybe you don't. You know, they buy some food and they're not necessarily got money to throw around, but they want to donate their time and their food, and they cook it. And today I held the door, a young girl come in carrying a big bunch of food, and you know, that, well, it's a labor of love though, isn't it? And it's just a beautiful thing. So, and speaking of labor of love, the worship team up here, Steve and Judy and Frank and Gail, and just all of us that Mike's going to sing today, appreciate them. Would you give them a hand this morning? Would you bow your heads just for a little prayer with me here, and then we'll get started. I'm so thankful that everybody's here today. We're going to have a celebration today. I want you to prepare for that. I want you to prepare to celebrate today. You may think that's the last thing I feel like doing. You know, my mom, I was going to take her out the other night to a party, and she's like, I just don't feel like a party tonight, Mark. I get that. Sometimes you hurt. And there was going to be food there and people we know. I just don't feel like a party tonight, Mark. So we went somewhere else and it was fine. But I hope that you can participate in this celebration this morning. That's what we're going to have. Pray with me just for a moment. Lord, I know that you're here. I can't really see you. I'm being honest right now. I can't see you, but I can see you in people's lives. I see you in my own life, Lord. And hopefully I won't lie to myself. You know, I can see you working in my life. I can feel you working in my life. And I'm going to trust what your word says, that you said you'd never leave me. Never. And you'd never forsaken me, which means you'll never abandon me. I will not go through my difficulties alone. I will not go through my good times alone. You're there with me. You're yoked together with me. I'm with you. I'm not sure why you love me so much, but that's the way you feel about every single person, man, woman, and child in this room this morning. Help us to celebrate that truth, Lord, today. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, we're going to walk through the Bible today. I don't have a long time to talk with you, but I'm going to try to cover some good ground today, but we're going to call this message, okay? We're going to call it the three C's of life. The three C's of life. And I was going to add a fourth, but I don't know how many sports fans are out there, but they tell me Las Vegas is picking the Cleveland Indians to go to the World Series this year. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to break even on my betting because I'm not going to bet, but I am going to watch baseball. I like to do that, but it's springtime and they're playing some games, and I like the tribe. I like Cleveland Indians. But I don't really want to talk about that particular C, okay? I want to talk about the first C is celebrate. And I got to ask you a question. There's a crowd here today. Please don't feel like I'm trying to embarrass you, but I'm curious. Is there anybody in the room that has a birthday in March this month? Would you raise your hand? You got a lot of them. Look at that. Hey, we would like to sing to you. I hope you don't mind. We want to sing you because we want to celebrate your life.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear March. Happy birthday to you.
Give him a hand this morning. Please. Thank you, Steve. Hey, I was going to say something now. I said this one other time from this pulpit, and I'm not using this as a resentment or bitterness or anything. God has helped me with this thought that I'm going to tell you. My own mother, I just spoke about her a minute ago, right? My dad, he died of cancer 20 years ago. My mother's 90 years old. In 2 days, she's 90 years old. But anyhow, she told me when she was pregnant with me that her family went crazy. You can't have another baby. What are you doing? I'm in the womb, and the family's going crazy because she's pregnant. So somebody told me that the baby inside you can hear. I've heard of mothers saying they sang to their baby while that baby was growing inside of them. And I don't know if I heard all that rejection, but I want to tell you, for some reason, Dad, God rest his soul. I know he's in heaven. He died in my arms. He accepted Christ a year before he died. It's a beautiful story. Dad didn't even touch me with a finger, let alone hug me. I almost wish he would have spanked me just to show me some attention, you know. But I'm over that. Because I'm so accepted by the Lord that nothing is moving me right now. And somebody, I'm telling you this because maybe you, when you raised your hand, you said it had a birthday in March, or maybe you got a birthday in April, that's what mine is, or it's in May, June, or it was in January, whatever. Maybe nobody ever signed you. Maybe you never had a cake, maybe you never had a card. And that's confusing, isn't it? That's confusing. That hurts too. But I want to talk today about a celebration. I want to talk today about confusion. And I want to talk today about Christ. Three simple C's. It's going to be an elementary message, but I'm telling you right now, it's changed me. Just reviewing this over and over, it has changed me. If you believe God is with us this morning, if you believe that, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's get started. If you got your Bibles here, I want to take you to Acts. You're welcome to follow along. I'm not going to read a lot. I'm not going to talk a lot, but I'll tell you what, God is going to speak a lot this morning. We just did celebrate, right? I want to talk about confusion a little bit here. This is a familiar story. If it's the first time you heard it, I'm really excited for you because it's such an incredible story. It's going to take faith to believe it. So if you don't believe it, that's your choice. I'm not trying to be mean, but you do have that choice, you know. You don't have to believe anything I say. But I'm going to choose to believe it because God just showed up in this story of Acts chapter 16, verse 25. That's in your New Testament of your Bible. If you're not familiar with your Bible, they call it the Old. Then they go into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They call it the New. And now I'm in the book of Acts here. Jesus has already died. He's risen from the dead. We're going to talk about that in a minute. That's the other C, okay? But this is in Acts chapter 16. And in verse 25 it says, and this is related to confusion now. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Big deal. If you never heard this, you're thinking, who's Paul? Who's Silas? So what? They're having church. They're praying and singing hymns to God. That's my initial thought if I've never heard this before. They're just having church, right? No, they're not necessarily in church. If you know the story, Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. And I don't mean the Summit County Jail. And I'm not trying to say that's an easy place there, okay? I'm not trying to say just because the floors are so clean there or whatever the case may be. And I remember the workhouse down there on Cahoga Street. I can relate to you. That's all I'm going to say to you, okay, about that. But I do want to say this was no ordinary jail. The Bible tells us at the beginning of this story they were thrown into prison for talking about, preaching, whatever you want to call it, about this man named Jesus. And they threw him in jail. And just at the beginning of the story here, it says they were flogged. You know what flogging is? I wish I didn't know what flogging was. Now, I really mean that. Because that's what they did to Jesus. They had strips of leather and they had little pieces of iron ore on the strips of those leather. Okay? You could picture that. And they whipped him, they flogged him, And those raw pieces of iron tore his flesh open when they pulled back the whips. And that's what they did to Paul and Silas. Paul tells us later, three times he was whipped, he was flogged. He must have been crazy because he did not give up. This guy was something else. I can't wait to meet Paul one day. So they're in prison. And the Bible says that they were thrown into prison. The jailer commanded them to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell. So they're not just in jail. They're in like the inner part of this, the bowels of this prison, where they had certainly no plumbing and no light, and I'm sure plenty of rodents and plenty of smell and no heat. And I don't know if it was summer and no air conditioning and no light. We'll find that out in a minute here, that there's no light in there. And their feet are fastened in stocks. So their flesh is torn open. They're put in stocks of on their wrists and probably their ankles too. And verse 25 says it's midnight. That's late. It's been a long day, I'm sure. And they're praying and singing hymns to God. I'm confused by that. I can handle a celebration. It's your birthday. I'm going to celebrate your life. It's not just us celebrating your life. God is celebrating your life. He made you. He made me. You know, maybe my parents didn't want a baby, but God wanted me to be born. And I'm so thankful. I mean, I am so thankful I am born again. Ooh, another story. But Paul and Silas are praying and singing hymns to God. That's confusion to me. Listen to this. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Ooh, boy. Suddenly, so really they're celebrating, aren't they? This is confusing, but they're celebrating. That's the other C. Suddenly there's such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once the prison doors flew open. Now here's the mysterious part. You're going to have to believe this by faith. And everybody's chains came off. I understand that the chain might have been fastened to the wall, and the wall came off, and the chain is still on my wrist, right? Or on my ankle. But it says everybody's chains came off. That's God. That's why I said this will take faith to believe. Listen to this. So everybody's chains came off. The jailer wakes up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew a sword and he's about to kill himself. Reason being is he's responsible for these prisoners, and if they escape, his life is going to be taken because his responsibility wasn't kept. They're going to kill him. He thinks, I'm going to do them a favor. I'm going to kill myself. And Paul sees this happening and he shouts, verse 28, don't harm yourself. We're all here. What? Hey, I'm going to tell you the truth. This is not confusing at all. I would have took off. I would have thought, I was praying and singing hymns to God, and the walls came down, and God set me free. Why wouldn't I run? I mean, seriously. But there was something going on here in Paul and Silas' life. The story finishes like this, because I want to move on to another section of Scripture. The jailer calls for lights, candles, whatever, lanterns. He calls for lights and he brings them in and he falls at their feet. He falls at their feet. Wait a minute. Isn't this the same guy that flogged them, that put them in the inner room? Now he's falling at their feet and he says, what must I do to be saved? I don't know where he got that. What's this saved business? I remember the first time I heard that word, you need to be saved. I'm like, you talking Chinese to me? You talking Russian to me? With all due respect to other languages, I don't know what you mean by that. But the Holy Spirit of God was speaking to that jailer through Paul and Silas. I want to say this. It's confusion. It's hard to believe they could do this. But they were praising God. God put this on my heart. I was telling Frank, praises can bring down prison walls. You think about that. If I can praise God, and I'm going through something right now, I'm not going to elaborate on my stuff. I want to talk about you today. But I'm going through something right now that is life-changing. Some of my friends already know about it. And you know what I've chosen to do? And this is not because of medication. And I'm not against medication. I'm just saying, I've decided to praise God through this storm I'm going through right now. And you know what has happened? The prison of worry, the prison of anxiety, the prison of fear has left me. I'm celebrating. Call me crazy. Call me crazy, but the handful of friends that know what's going on in my life right now, we're going to celebrate together because I'm God's child. Somebody told me, some very influential person told me that I am a beautiful, wonderful child of God. She's 7 years old. You heard me say that a couple weeks ago. She's 7 years old. She calls me Mr. Mark, and she says, Mr. Mark, listen to the birds, Mr. She'll be, she's the neighbor. She comes over and I'm working in the yard. Listen to the birds, Mr. Mark. Do you hear the birds, Mr. Mark? Well, last year I told her the birds were talking. I forgot I said it to her. She remembered that. And she came and told me and reminded me, listen to what the birds are saying. Mr. Mark, you're a beautiful, wonderful child of God. If you knew what was going on in my life right now and you could see me smiling through it, you'd think it's medication. Again, I'm not against medication. It's the Spirit of God that's in me right now. I'm celebrating. I'm a little confused by what's happening in my life, but I'm trusting God that I'm not going to stay in confusion, but I'm going to move into celebration. I want to go to a story now. We don't have a long time to talk yet, but I want to go to a story. I'm going to go backwards in my Bible. If you're not familiar with your Bible, go backwards and go to Luke, please. Oh, boy. I'm in Luke chapter 23. And, you know, we got Easter coming up. This is the Lenten season. We got Holy Week coming up. Man, we got Good Friday coming up. You know, let me tell you a little quick story about Good Friday. Well, you talk about celebrating confusion and Christ all wrapped up in one Good Friday in my life. I don't want to bore you with my stories and my victories, but listen to this. Aunt Shirley will remember this. I'm an alcoholic. I haven't drank. Actually, I'm an alcoholic and I don't drink anymore. But I'm still an alcoholic. I'm powerless over alcohol. Some of you know what that means. Step one, I am powerless over alcohol and my life had become unmanageable. You know what that step one has done for me, for those of you that are familiar with the program? I have taken the word powerless and I've attached it to everything. I'm powerless over that that's trying to destroy me. I'm powerless over that that's trying to destroy me. I'm powerless over that that's trying to distract me. I'm powerless. Yet, when I'm powerless, I used to think, that's a sign of weakness, man. That's a sign of weakness. No, that's a sign of God's power coming in and just doing what He does. And I want to talk to you about powerlessness when it didn't have to be in Luke chapter 23, because if you know your Bibles, that's where your Savior, that's where your friend. Did I say friend? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I sang that to a lady with dementia a couple weeks ago in a nursing home. She came right out of that fog. She went back in when we were done singing, but there's power in those words. What a friend we have in Jesus. And He is powerless on this cross here. I'm in Luke chapter 23, verse 32 says, two other men, both criminals, were also led with Him to be executed. Hey, this is going to take faith again. You don't have to believe what I'm going to say. But all I know is, I'm pretty stubborn. I might be more stubborn than you. I remember the days when I was being told about this and I thought, keep your thoughts to yourself. Then I heard a pastor talk about the prophet Isaiah that talked about all of this stuff for lack of better words, not very respectful, is it? All this detail. Isaiah wrote about it 740 approximate years before it happened. What? David says in Psalm 22, written centuries before Golgotha, the Calvary, the cross, the Assyrian way of death, they crucified people. I watched a movie last week. I forget what it was called, but Kirk Douglas was... Oh, Spartacus. Spartacus was on. Maybe somebody's caught that. I hadn't seen that in years. They crucified all these slaves. And they put him on the Appian Way. And the people just went down the road and just admiring the crucified slaves. And there's one after another dying and hanging on this cross. Thousands of people have been crucified, folks, in history. But only one, only one, we'll talk about that in a minute, did something totally different. David writes in Psalm 22, "Dogs surround me," verse 16. "A pack of villains encircle me. They pierce my hands and my feet." You think David was confused when God gave him them words? I have to believe he was confused. Like, what are you saying to me, God? This is a long, long time before Christ came to this earth. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments. That's what the Roman soldiers did with his only possession, a garment. And David prophesied. David talked about this. That got my attention years ago. And then it got my attention when in Acts chapter 1 it says over a period of 40 days. These are eyewitnesses now. They're either 40 days worth of eyewitnessing liars or this really happened. He made himself known over a period of 40 days after his resurrection in various ways, the Bible says. They saw him. A couple days later, after he rose from the dead, the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem. Everybody's down. Everybody's walking. I understand their best friend was just murdered, executed. He stands right there with him and he starts walking to them. He says to them in Luke, he says, "Why are you downcast?" They look to this man and they say, "Don't you know what happened in Jerusalem these days? Don't you know what happened to Jesus? They put him on a cross. They accused him. They found him guilty and they killed him." And it's Jesus that they're talking to. And they didn't recognize him. They were so distraught. If I'm distraught, if I'm anxious, if I'm full of worry, if I got this prison around me that has nothing but anxiety and fear, I can't see nothing. I might as well have a blindfold on. I can't see. Not necessarily physically. I can't see God moving. But, however, here's a pair of eyes I want to talk about that had incredible vision. Maybe the greatest vision of all time. I'm just going to make that statement. My opinion. Don't take it for what it's worth. Back to that verse 32 in Luke 23 here. We're in the third part of this message, so we're wrapping it up, okay? Appreciate you being calm and quiet and collected here. This is God speaking, not me. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to a place called the Skull. That's horrible, isn't it? They crucified him there, along with the criminals. One on his right, the other on his left. Listen to what Jesus said. Listen to what Jesus said. And by the way, you know how this ministry was named. Do you know? Some of you know. Let me come back to this story in a second. This ministry was named by a beautiful man that was so incredibly intoxicated, he could hardly stand up. And he came up to myself and Steve and Judy's son Dave. Dave had a guitar. He's strumming on the guitar. I had a hymn book. I'm trying to sing. I had a thermos full of coffee and we had some cookies and some literature. Right behind the haven, and he'd come up, and he's holding on to the table, and he's just, "Tell me what Jesus said about blank. Tell me what Jesus said about this. Tell me what Jesus said. We're trying to answer him. Tell me what Jesus said about this. He must ask six times. What did Jesus say about this? And he left, and I turned around and I said to Dave Hadu, I said, Dave, I don't know what we're doing here, but God's doing something. Let's call this Jesus Said Ministries. True story. Here's what Jesus said. I can't even believe it. This is going to take faith to believe it. Here we go. You picture this now. I hate this time of year, although I love this time of year. You picture his wrists being, oh, I can't even believe that God the Father allowed this to happen. There must be something really serious about sin. His son is fastened to a wooden cross with a nail going through his wrist. I don't know if he had hands like mine. I got some pretty strong hands. I work them. But whether you have weak hands or strong hands, it's still your hand. It's still your wrist. And it hurts. When you get scratched or you break a fingernail or you hit it with a hammer or do whatever. And they fastened him to that with this arm and fastened this arm. And I'm not trying to paint a bad picture here, but listen to this now. We need to think about this. They took his feet bare. Some historians said he was naked on that cross. I don't know if he was. He probably was. But they flogged his back so his flesh is open. He's got a crown of thorns on his head, so there's blood down his face. They had beaten him when they put a hood over him. They punched him and said, now prophesy. Who hit you? He was beaten. He was probably unrecognizable, some say. But they overlapped his feet. What? And Drew put a spike through them into that wood? The reason I'm elaborating here, listen to what he says. At that moment, he says, Father, forgive them. Makes you want to cry, doesn't it? Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And David had talked about that centuries before it happened. The people stood watching. The people stood watching and the rulers even sneered at him. And I don't know if that consists of what they called Pharisees. They were like priests. They were the religious leaders. They sneered at him. They said, he saved others. They believed that. They saw it. Let him save himself if he's God the Messiah, the chosen one. If you just walked in, I used the word powerlessness a minute ago. You talk about how powerless he was on that cross. Yet, wait a minute here. The soldiers came up and they mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. And there was a notice above him that said, this is the king of the Jews. Here comes the story. Steve, I'd love to hear you play in the background because this is so beautiful. This is so incredible. Here's the guy that had the best eyesight in the history of mankind. I really mean that. I'm going to tell you why he had the best eyesight in the history of mankind. He is hanging next to Jesus on a cross. There's three of them there. Christ is in the middle, one thief on the right, criminal, and one thief on the left. And one of them, only one of them? What'd the other one do? We're going to find out. But one of them believed that that person hanging in between them was a king. Naked, bleeding, probably shaking. He's human. Had to hurt so bad. He's dying. He's dying a horrible death. And that criminal, listen to this. This is so powerful to me. May I never forget this story. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Oh, we're not going to see that guy. I'm so sorry. Well, I'm not going to see that guy. My eternal home is heaven. I am not going to see that guy. Are you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal, oh man. I just asked God for my stubborn years. I got friends in this room that I've known since the 70s. Man, I was anything but walking with Jesus in the 70s. Whew. Anything but walking with Jesus in the early 80s. And then I walked down that aisle on June the 9th, 1985, and I didn't know what I was doing. All I know is the preacher's talking about Isaiah and 700 years and this story, and I'm like, I got to have this. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to get started. The other criminal. Oh boy. The other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man, he's done nothing wrong. And then he said to them, this is the guy with the greatest vision of all time. I just say that because I just feel that way. Then he said, Jesus, remember me. Remember me when you enter your kingdom. That's why I say he believed he was a king. He was a king because he had a kingdom. I just marvel at God's ways. Why would he do this procedure to save mankind? Couldn't he have done it another way? Hey, if it was me, I guarantee you, I would not have put my son on that cross who looked so powerless. But see, God had a plan. Woo! Man, did God have a plan. He was going to take that powerless son of his, at least he looked powerless, and he was going to put him in a grave. And on the third day, he was going to blow the minds of the world. Do you know what his murderers said? They told the guards, because if you know the story, maybe you never heard it, but here it is. I'm going to wrap this up. I've been talking a long time. Thank you for listening, David. They came to that grave to anoint the body. That was what the culture did. They didn't have embalmers. They didn't have what we have today. They were going to put perfumes and all this and everything so the odor wouldn't be so bad. It was their culture. The women came with spices. They come up to the grave. And there's this angel dressed in white. Ooh-wee. This angel dressed in white that said, Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen just as he said. Hey, he may have looked powerless. There may have been great confusion that day when his onlookers are looking, why is he dying? He saved others. He fed 5,000. He walked on water. He raised the dead. Why is he dying? They were so confused. They wanted to celebrate their lives. Jim, we're talking three C's today. Celebration, confusion, and Christ. Maybe we should add one. Let's wrap all those up and say, that equals a champion. You know, you're allowed to be confused. You're allowed to hurt. You're a human being. I'm a human being. I hurt. You hurt. I've had rejection. I've had molestation. I've had addictions. I've had all this junk. I'm not trying to brag about my junk. I'm trying to brag about the one who has redeemed me. He's redeemed me just like he did that thief on the cross. The other fool, I'm sorry to call him a fool, he rebuked the Lord. He mocked him. And the other one said what I said just a moment ago. Would you bow your heads with me today? Someone is here today, and it's okay. You're confused. You're like, what did that guy just say? What's this Bible? What's this torture I'm hearing about a cross? What's this rising from the dead? He called it resurrection business. What's this? He appeared for 40 days in a resurrected body to prove himself to be alive. What is all this business? Listen, maybe you're like me, like I was back in 1985. I had no clue. All I know is I thought, God, I didn't even know what trust was. I just thought, he's telling me that he's recommending to me that he was so gentle. I'll never forget that, Pastor. He was so gentle. So let's just say he recommended on a high level, confess that you're a sinner. confess that you need a Savior. And believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And that He loves you. He doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to save you. He wants to help you. Someone here today has never said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my life and heart. I want to encourage you to pray this short prayer with me. It has such deep meaning. And it has such powerful meaning that the Bible says that when one sinner, and that's what I am, a sinner, and you are too, we're born into sin, repents, that means turn from their wicked ways. That's what it says on the back of our hoodies and sweatshirts. All heaven rejoices. I think it's a big deal for heaven when they see this happen. I caused, and I'm going to finish with this, I caused a celebration when I gave my heart to the Lord. I caused a celebration across the universe. Oof. I'm responsible for that. I'm not bragging. It's what the Bible says. God's speaking to you. By the way, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, not me. I'm just up here holding a mic. I am nobody other than a beautiful, wonderful child of God, like I said earlier. But that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I love you. Please forgive me of all my sins and come into my heart. Help me, Lord, to trust in you every day of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Quietly and calmly, we're dismissed, okay? Thank you for listening. Give the Lord a praise.